This is Dr. Madeline Frank with your 1 Minute Musical Radio Show for March 2023. Our radio show guest is Mr. David Piatak, NASA engineer, rocket scientist, father, and musician. Dave is passionate about his life's work and his team's contributions to our return to the moon and human space exploration beyond. Mars, here we come. Dave, welcome to our show.
Thanks a lot, Madeline. It's great to be here. This is really cool.
Dave, where were you born and raised?
I was born in Carbondale, Pennsylvania, a small town northeast of Scranton, Pennsylvania, northeast PA. It's a former coal town, railroad town, and I grew up a little bit outside of that area in a small hamlet called of Richmonddale in Forest City, Pennsylvania. Grandparents were coal miners and dress factory workers and mill workers and homemakers, proud people. And my graduating class size at Carbondale Area High School was very small, like around 90. So it's a very small, a far cry from the size of my children's school here in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Do your parents and other family members play a musical instrument?
I'm really the only person in my family that plays a musical instrument. My brother did take piano lessons when he was young, and my mom and dad encouraged us to explore our interest in music, and they made sure that guitar lessons were available to me. My mom taught kindergarten and gifted at the local elementary school in Forest City, Pennsylvania, and my dad taught gym and health at my high school and was my basketball coach at times, as well as my tennis coach throughout high school. But they were not they did not play any musical instruments. I'm pretty unique in the family with that regard.
That's marvelous. When did you begin studying the guitar and begin singing? And did you take private lessons?
I did. I took private lessons. I started sometime around 10 or 11, probably, in elementary school or so, and continued with the same teacher for many, many years. Her name's Mary Ferrero, and I took lessons in her home in Forest City, Pennsylvania. Did my best to prepare for each lesson and loved to play guitar. Graduated from an acoustic guitar to my prized Ibanez and then Fender Strats. Those lessons really helped teach me time management skills and the balance between school, basketball team, tennis team, hobbies, and friends. And those time management skills are critical, I think, for success in life. So that music really played a role in that for me, these lessons. I sang for myself in the past, really, and it's only in the last 8 or 9 years that I really began singing in public at open mics and then with local bands in public. Really self-taught with respect to singing. But generally, if it's in the key of Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam, I'm pretty much right there in that wheelhouse.
That's marvelous. Did you play in the school band in high school?
I didn't play in the school band, but I was like the guitar for hire for spring concerts and other events at my high school, and played in a few Battle of the Bands, one of which we won, my friends and I. My 1988 Made in Japan MIJ Surf Green Fender Strat followed me everywhere during college years and into my career here at NASA in Virginia. I would play occasionally and consider myself a very good guitar player, but I never really had the time or passion in those years to really find other musical people to play with. I was so busy with either aerospace engineering studies and classes, at Penn State, and then my career at NASA, and add to that marriage, 3 kids, houses, cars, and such. I had little time left for those pursuits at times with the push of kids. It took my divorce to trigger me to really kind of reinvent myself and set the goal of playing and singing at open mics at Aroma's Coffee Shop here in Williamsburg. Probably around the summer of 2014, I came out and challenged myself to play some Green Eyes by Coldplay, Rocket Man, and some Jack Johnson songs at my first open mic. And I was hooked. Everyone was super welcoming and encouraging. From there, I found other music friends here in Williamsburg and elsewhere, and they asked me to play bass in their local cover band, and they also had some originals. So I learned to play bass bass guitar, electric bass, in a couple of weeks, really, and learn their set list. And we were ready to go, and we played at an elementary school fall festival for the young kids, and it was a lot of fun in the gym playing live music. At the end of the show, the PTA lady gave us all $50 for playing, and suddenly I was a paid musician. And it was a great hobby. It's a great hobby. My old band is called Hangar 9 that I played with for many years. They're still playing here in Williamsburg, and sometimes I sit in on gigs with them. I've been playing many times with my NASA band now, too. And we've been playing at NASA events, including the 50th anniversary for Apollo 11 at NASA Langley. And my friends James, Frank, and I have been playing as a trio, too, at a local bar in Phoebus, Virginia. It's a lot of fun.
That's terrific. When did you become interested in mathematics and science?
I think from an early, very early age, I was enamored with science and later math, as my mom would bring home science material from her school, because she was a gifted teacher. She would bring home a lot of really interesting cutting-edge things, and thoughts. Early computers I got into, early personal computers because of my mom, and I really ate all that up. I loved it. My parents would take my brother Brian and I on vacations that would always include museums, science centers, air shows, music or history, aspects. And so I really became very interested in learning, period. This grew into a passion for space flight, spacecraft design, aircraft design, pretty much anything that flew or moved, I loved, and I wanted to know how it worked. By the time I was age 13 or so, I really knew that I wanted to be an aerospace engineer or a pilot. My eyes were pretty bad to be a military pilot, and so I instead decided to focus on designing, testing, analyzing, and making safer and more higher performance aircraft and rockets. I've been turned down several times to be an astronaut. I've always applied. And those folks are pretty amazing people, amazing humans. They are among the cream of the crop of humanity, I feel.
I think you're pretty awesome and amazing yourself as a rocket scientist and engineer, Dave. What was your favorite subject in high school? And did you have a favorite teacher who inspired you?
Yeah, really any science class. My physics or general sciences, I really loved. Math came easy to me. I wasn't really enamored by mathematics until my engineering classes, and learned how second order differential equations could describe the vibration of a beam or a wing of an aircraft or the flow of electricity in a circuit. Math is humanity's way of spherical-izing or simplifying the world around us, by simplifying these complex physical principles down to fundamental mathematical principles. And this often involves, calculus, vector calculus, differential equations, partial differential equations, and more. Today we use some of the world's most powerful computers to solve these complex equations to describe the complex aerodynamic flow around the Artemis 1 rocket, or around an electric aircraft that we're designing. These powerful computers and mathematical computations help us to safely design our aerospace vehicles for the world, for America and the world. And these are running equations that have their roots in our rudimentary math classes that I loved during high school and those physics classes.
That's just terrific. Dave, did studying...
My favorite teacher, a shout out to my science teacher from sophomore year in high school, Carl Urbis. He really did help inspire me in ways. He recommended me for a student leadership conference called the Hugh O'Brien Youth Leadership Conference, and it really it kind of changed my outlook at that time, and really kind of paved the way for me thinking about, you know, leadership and how it fits into engineering. I'm still in touch with Mr. Urbis and his family. My family's always been close friends with them.
That's wonderful. Dave, did studying the guitar help you to be a better student in school?
Oh, heck yes. Yeah, definitely. Music's ability, I definitely agree with music's ability to foster the learning and more. As I mentioned earlier, all of my hobbies and activities have taught me discipline, patience, and time management skills. And among those are, you know, the rigor that I put into learning the guitar. There's clearly a connection between math and music also. The rigor and careful derivation of math equations and principles have parallels in the music theory and structure that we study, and the sheer enjoyment of the playing of music. I love the connection between, you know, physics and engineering and of not only, you know, the airflow around a rocket or an aircraft, but, you know, the physics of an engineering that goes into, you know, creating the instruments that we play. The physics of air vibration. Air vibration is just sound, right? It's that, you know, when you snap your fingers, there's, you know, a pressure wave that goes out, you know, and it hits our eardrums, and that it's transformed into sound. The complex electronics that are present today in our guitar effects pedals, in electronica music, you know, these all are, you know, rooted in sound, audio, and electrical engineering. And these underlying physical principles are all modeled by high-level mathematics, you know, so that sound engineers and electrical engineers designing our instruments and recording equipment, you know, have decades and hundreds of years of combined experience in mathematics and engineering to make that all work. Much of my work on rockets involves supersonic aerodynamic noise and acoustics. And the unsteady aerodynamic forces on a rocket as it goes through the speed of sound on its way to orbit. I work with high speed data acquisition systems that measure these unsteady aerodynamic phenomenon on rockets and aircraft during flight testing and in the wind tunnel. And so these have parallels with the music industry and my experience with music. Both music as we know it today and rocket science is really built upon math, physics, and engineering.
That's an amazing, just amazing. Did you receive good grades at elementary, middle school, and high school?
Yeah, I was a total nerd. I was kind of a scholar athlete. I would, you know, consider myself because I played basketball and tennis. But had my feet firmly planted in the nerd world too. You know, I was always getting straight A's. And not just because my parents were teachers, you know, it was really, I just really enjoyed, you know, doing my best and, you know, doing well, and it came fairly easy to me, you know, through high school, college, and grad school, I was pretty much a straight A student.
That's terrific. Where did you attend college, Dave, and what was your major, and did you continue to play your guitar?
I have bachelor's and master's degrees in aerospace engineering from Penn State University. And Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia. Didn't really have time for bands or for music playing, you know, in college, or like I said, in the, you know, first half of my parenting years. And so it wasn't until later in life that I really, you know, really got serious about playing guitar and playing, you know, out in public more regularly later in life. But I grew up with, you know, one of those giant furniture-like record players, you know, and that my parents had in the house in the late 70s and 80s, and grew up with a lot of Beatles and other early 60s rock. My father's taste in music kind of stopped in the early 60s to some degree, I think, in that era. But he also exposed me to a great deal of classical music, Brahms, Beethoven, Mussorgsky, Tchaikovsky, and I could go on. And so He and my mom would take us to many Philharmonic Symphony concerts. So I had a lot of exposure to a great variety of music, and I consider my musical taste today very eclectic.
That's terrific. Dave, when did you begin working at NASA, and are there any interesting projects you'd like to share with our audience?
I could go on and on about so many interesting projects that I've been so fortunate to work on and touch. I began my work at NASA as a NASA intern, you know, during my time in at Penn State. I started working in the fall of 1992, all the way back in 1992. I've been working for NASA for about 30 years now. I would alternate semesters between work and school between NASA and Penn State. And my first when I first set foot on campus at NASA Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia, which is where I work, I started working with the flight research branch there at NASA Langley. And I was a kid in a candy store. I had a hangar full of aircraft, and they let me help them prepare for flight tests and wind tunnel testing of their 737 test aircraft. From there, I went on to work on subsonic aerodynamics and wind tunnel testing at the 14-by-22-foot VSTOL wind tunnel there at Langley. And then my third assignment as a student intern was at the aeroelasticity branch and at the wind tunnel known as the transonic dynamics tunnel. And I've been there ever since. I've got 30 years of experience working at NASA, and I've worked on everything from the V-22 Osprey tiltrotor to the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, which is one of the Air Force's premier fighter jets. Not the one that shot down the Chinese balloon, though. That was the F-22. I worked on space shuttle, Mars exploration rover parachute testing, and now I'm focused on the Artemis program and returning humans to the moon for the first time in, you know, over 50 years since Apollo missions. But this time we're there to stay and stay longer. And really learn to live and work on the moon and in the vicinity of the moon in deep space. If you Google my name in NASA, you'll find lots of papers and conference proceedings and journal articles that I've written and my friends have written that are part of my team. I help lead the aerodynamic design environments for the Space Launch System program, the SLS program at NASA. This is the big, huge rocket that is the premier rocket as part of the Artemis program that launched the Orion spacecraft to the moon on November 16th of last year. I work with an amazing group of friends from all around the country at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, Kennedy Space Center in Florida, Ames Research Center in California, and Johnson Space Center in Houston. And it's so awesome to work on this SLS rocket. This was the first test flight. The test flight that we launched late last year was the first test flight of a human-rated rocket and spacecraft capable of sending crew to the moon since the test flights of Saturn V during the Apollo 4 and 6 missions in 1967 and 68. My team and I were there at Kennedy Space Flight Center as part of the launch team, and we really had a front row seat to the launch. We were in a back room supporting go-no-go decisions on day of launch. It was exciting and a privilege to be part of something that is so rare, something that only really comes once in a couple generations. You know, not since Apollo have we tested, and in shuttle have we tested these kinds of, you know, vehicles again that could carry humans to the edge of space and beyond and explore now finally back to the moon and on to Mars too. And so we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep seeing amazing feats of spaceflight and exploration in the coming years. We're really living in a spaceflight revolution akin to what my parents grew up with and witnessed in the 1960s. And only this time, like I've said, we're going to go further and explore further and stay there and learn to live and camp in space and camp out on the moon and Mars and possibly Europa, the moon of Jupiter. That's the icy moon with a water ocean potentially. My team's very busy currently working on Artemis 1 flight data analysis to ensure that it's safe to fly our crew in 2024 to the moon. And my team's also working on the Mars Ascent vehicle that's going to be launching the rover Perseverance's soil samples off the surface of Mars and onto Earth. It's amazing stuff that we're working on.
Thank you, Mr. David Piatak, for sharing your fascinating work as a NASA engineer, rocket scientist, and musician. You are an inspiration to all of us with your awe-inspiring work.
Thanks, Madeline. It's awesome talking with you.